Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yeah. He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back to the Rams Writer Podcast with me, your host Simon Long, and as always, Chris Holt. Today then, we are going to review Derby County's 2-0 victory over Cheltenham Town, and also we'll look at the Shrewsbury game. So let's get into it. Let's start straight away. Nice 2-0 win. I think, Chris, that was more points over performance. I can still hear that in the background.
Well, the game. Well, yeah. If we go through the match stats, you know, it was 60% possession for Derby.
Yeah.
12 shots to 5 of Cheltenham's, 3 on target to 0, 7 off target to 2. Passing wise, Derby 427. Passes by Cheltenham 295. Clear cut chances, only one, which obviously is Dobbin's goal. Only three corners for Derby, only two for Cheltenham, 3 offsides. And what I found staggering was there was 53, if my maths is right, 54 aerial challenges, which is a lot. That ball was in the air a lot.
Which is strange considering the fact that against Barnsley, quite right, it's done. Against Barnsley, we did play a more possession on the floor style of football, didn't we? So,
yeah, and the only save that their keeper made was the save from Dobbin when he should have really squared it to McGoldrick.
Yeah,
and that, in the stats, Derby only have one shot saved. And I go back to what I said during the highlights. This was Cheltenham. Mm. I think if we would have had a team above ninth, should we say?
Let's say like a Peterborough, a Wickham.
Yeah.
At home. That
performance would have got us nil point.
It wasn't great.
We would have been beaten. And I know people will be listening to this going, lads, 1 minute you're on the promotion bus, next minute you're slagging off the team. I'm not slagging off the team. We won the game. We did what we had to do. And I still believe we'll get promotion. What I'm saying is that performance was not convincing, was it, Simon? I thought it was very predictable. I thought it was very routine. There was nothing that was particularly different to the style. I'm not saying the style is bad, but I do think that the level of performance was just above 6 out of 10, which just scrapes us the game.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I don't know what it is. We've seemed to have lost that sort of je ne sais quoi, that pizzazz that we sort of possessed in that unbeaten run. We've seemed to have lost that. It's almost like we're trying too hard, or it's finding that right balance of being, again, as you pointed out last game, between arrogance and confidence. But we've got to find that balance. We've got to start working teams. You know, teams are going to come to Pride Park, sit back and want us to attack them, and they're going to try and catch on us. But we've got to make those attacks of a certain quality. We can't just keep lumping the ball forward. You know, we saw when we got that little bit of quality around in and around the box between Dobbin, McGoldrick and then Horahan, we got a goal from it. But other than that, there was... any other time you saw it, there was another chance for the handball. Dobbin there, we had four men in the box, and he miscued his pass, his cross, his shot, whatever it was going to be. You know, and it, like you say, on another day, a better team takes advantage of that. But I think on the whole, we have to sort of go, it's 3 points.
Correct.
We've bounced back. I hate that word, bounce back. We've got over that loss at Barnsley. And we've done it the right way.
I thought that's just got to win.
That was what. Yesterday's game. Tuesday's game was about was getting a win.
Yeah, the biggest thrill for me of the night was seeing Bolton get beat.
That was important.
That was huge.
You said on our last show that how important or there's going to be so many blips,
yeah,
and trip ups from now until the end of the season that this automatic spot. Number one for me, Sheffield Wednesday will, with no doubt in my mind, I think now they've got the league sewed up.
I agree.
Plymouth are starting to, well, they're having...
Plymouth are starting to fall apart.
They are falling apart. Bolton, again, obviously. So Peterborough, though, are rising.
Yeah.
Everybody
Ipswich
wants
to start to... Ipswich is steadying the ship again. Bolton, I said to you, Portsmouth are one of those teams that... You don't want to play them. Any team between ninth and eighth, you know, that middle pack have still got an outside chance to get the sixth spot. And Portsmouth, if they win their games in hand, they're back in the mix.
I think they do this every season, though. They sort of come at you late, don't they?
They do. You're right. They're a late comer to the party.
It's going to be interesting. But I mean, on that game, obviously, there wasn't a great deal to talk about. Two great goals. Two good goals. But I want to just quickly talk about the sort of impact that Lewis Dobbins had. Now we've seen him come off the bench and make an impact. We've seen him start, not really do anything, get substituted. As I said before, his composure in front of goal needs some work. You know, he should be getting more goals. I would say, I know Sean Barker gave McGoldrick man of the match on Tuesday night, but I would have given it Dobbin.
I agree. I think Sean, again, like Sean, good pundit, but I thought Dobbin was more influential in the game than McGoldrick.
He looked a threat every time he got the ball.
Certainly the first half, definitely.
Yeah, he's got that sort of, just because he's only young, he's still got that enthusiasm that he's still playing football on the part of his mates. He wants to get the ball run. He has, hasn't he? He wants to get the ball, run at players and score goals.
Yeah.
That's what he wants to do.
It's his jumper that's making the far end post, isn't it?
Yeah, basically. And we've now got, I think for this was the first time we've seen him make an impact for 90 minutes.
I agree.
You know, I think he was a key player. I look now and I think, no disrespect to Tom Barkhuizen, when he's on the left-hand side, he seldom makes an impact. He has good games and bad games. Mendes Lang, you do have that sort of, when he gets the ball, go on, you know something's going to happen. And 85% of the time, something does. You know, he'll take on his man, he'll look to get the ball in the box. Dobbin now, for me, is that person on the left-hand side that is going to get you something now.
I'd love to, out of the three of them, Simon, who has the most successful dribble percentage, i.e. beating their man and getting a crossover between the three of them.
I tell you what, it's a tough one, that is. That's a good shout. At the start of the season, it would have been Mendes Lang. Now what's happening is they realise how much of a threat he is, that they're putting two defenders on him. And he's finding it a bit more difficult. That's where I think him and Corey Smith need to sort of... Corey needs to come a bit further forward and help him. I felt Dobbin with Hayden Roberts behind him. No, you know, Lewis Sibley, for me, not a left-back. For you, not a left-back, I'm sure.
No.
I think when Hayden Roberts has got... when Lewis Dobbin's got Hayden Roberts behind him, he's feels like more obliged to go forward and attack. I think he knows that if he's got Roberts behind him, he feels that there's going to be a less chance of a team scoring. Whereas if he's got Sibley, he knows he's going to have to help out more. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I agree. I think of the three of them over the season, I wouldn't be surprised. And there'll be some stato out there that'll be able to get this one out. So, you know, it'd be great to know if someone can tweet it, who has the most successful dribble attack rate between Barkhuizen, Mendes Lang and Dobbin. I would put my money on Barkhuizen.
Really?
I do, yeah. I think Tom is... I would... Me personally at the moment, and this is controversial, I would give Mendes Lang a rest. I'd like to see Dobbin and Barkhuizen. and rotate the wings. Yeah, mm-hmm. I used to do it a lot coaching. I used to always switch the wings every 15, 20 minutes, because a fullback can easily get accustomed to what they're facing.
Yeah, I mean, we have done that. We have seen it in games. But I just don't, like you said, I don't think we do it often enough.
No, we don't.
Under Jim Smith, we used to do it a lot.
We did.
Under Jim Smith, Sturridge and, Sturridge, Baiano, those sort of players, they'd always switch wings. One chop sometimes as well. Leon Burton as well. You know, you'd always notice them swapping sides.
You go back to the days of Nigel Callaghan and Gary Micklewhite doing it, and it's a tactic you seldom see nowadays. I think the other thing that, going back to the game that we've emphasised before in the podcast, Simon, is that when we make the substitutions, they're not making an impact as much as substitutions do. I know we won the game at Port Vale. Paul Warren's made some good substitutions. Don't get me wrong. That's not my point. My point is that we need to have the bench sorted next season, whatever league we are in. We have got to. We've missed out on a number nine in January. Let's be honest. I think there's been certain games. I think Barnsley is a classic example. Like, you could probably say Wickham to an extent, and you actually could say Lincoln at home to an extent, where I really thought a plan B off the bench would have scraped us home a goal.
Yeah, well, true. I mean, you've mentioned number nines there. We've got a lot to talk about on the show. So we'll move on to David McGoldrick. Now, as we've had this discussion before, we're not going to go over the same thing again. You know, he's obviously our number nine. Never really played there before, but he has now eclipsed his highest goal scoring season. He's got 18 goals, it is now this season. 15 league goals.
Yep.
Five assists.
Plus, yep.
So 20 goals. And he's now joint second top scorer in League One.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Not yet. He's level with... So, obviously, I messaged you before the show what we can talk about, but he's level with a guy called Aaron Williams. Now, Aaron Williams plays for Bristol Rovers. I think he came on a free last season from Forest Green Rovers. He was originally at Wolves. And he got 16 goals last season, and he's got 15 goals and 10 assists this season.
Wow, consistent then.
Very consistent. He is maybe someone that we should be looking at next season, regardless of what he was going to cost. He did sign a new deal in January to 2025. And I believe that if they were to sell him, they'd be looking at a fee for around about 5 million. Which, for a centre forward that scores, not only scores goals but creates them, I don't think that's a bad fee, to be honest.
No, it's good. excuse me. To get someone consistent at this level, actually, is quite rare. You look at the lad who last year banged in. I don't remember if it was Fleetwood or Morecambe. Carl, I can't think of his surname now. He banged in 27. We were linked to him, weren't we? He banged in 27, 28 goals. And then I think this season he's only got two. He plays for Morecambe.
Right, okay.
It'll come to me. You'll have a look. but he's fell off the radar as such.
Yeah.
And it just shows you that consistency key. You know, if you go from scoring 25, 26, is it Stockton?
Carl Stockdale.
Yeah.
Carl Stockton.
Yeah. Like, you go from 25, 26 one season down to two the following, or three or four. You know, Derby can't afford to have that type of player in their team. So going back to David McGoldrick. Carl Stockton, that's it.
Yeah.
I was never good with first names. Simon.
he got 23 goals last season. That's obviously just in the league.
Yeah.
24, 20, yeah, so about 25 goals last season. for Morecambe. But yeah, this season so far he's got 3.
Yeah. So going back to your suggestion of someone to watch, it sounds like a good shout, mate. Going back to McGoldrick as second in the scoring charts. It's interesting, isn't it? With 33 games gone, 15 goals gets you second in the scoring charts, which is pretty low, really.
Well, the person at the top is Clark Harris from Peterborough. He's got 18 goals.
Yeah.
Interesting, though. It's interesting, actually. You mentioned about the goals and stuff. You look at... I mean, I'm just going to get up the top goal scorers for League One. Because, obviously, you've got Clark Harris, who's at Peterborough, 18 goals. Where are they in the league? 7th, 8th?
Yeah, they're hanging around, aren't they?
Yeah, you've got, as I said, Aaron... What did I say his name was?
Wells, was it?
No. Oh, no, I'm having a mare here. This is because I'm doing two things at once. There we go. Yeah, so Aaron Collins.
Collins.
Obviously, he's second with McGoldrick.
Yeah.
And it's not until you get to 5th, which is Chaplin, Connor Chaplin from Ipswich, that it's... Oh, sorry. And thingy Charles from Bolton.
Yeah. Dion Charles.
Dion Charles. So Dion Charles has got 15 as well.
Yeah.
And then Connor Chaplin. But I'm looking... And it's Smith, who's got 11 goals for Sheffield Wednesday in 9th place.
I bet Collins is...
And Hardy for Plymouth has got 11 goals in 9th
place. Is Collins in 9th or 10th? He's got a... Is he on 10?
Collins is in 14th on
9. 14th on 9. So, going back to the Bolton lad, Dion Charles, he scored first for them, didn't he, on Tuesday? And Portsmouth got 3 really late goals.
Yeah.
Which I always love a late recovery. I.e. Port Vale. You cannot beat.
You cannot beat
a late recovery.
I tell you what. Do you want late recovery? This.
Go on them.
Okay, so picture mine back to yesterday. It's Alfreton Town versus Derby County under 23s.
Oh, okay.
And there's something Derbyshire Cup or something like that.
Derbyshire Senior Cup, yeah.
That's the one. Derbyshire Senior Cup. Derby take the lead 1-0. However, they're pegged back with 88 minutes on the clock. It's Alfreton 5, Derby County 2.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Derby County win 5-3 on penalties. I kid you not. Derby scored 3 goals in 2 minutes.
Wow.
I bet Pat Lyons
was loving that.
I bet he was having a party last night. 5-5 against Alfreton Town and win 5-3 on penalties. The forgotten man Adoru, he was captain for us last night as well.
Was he?
Forgot about him, didn't we? Right back, but yeah. So yeah, now that's what you call a late comeback, but a late drama there.
Did Rooney play?
I've not looked, to be honest, mate. No, he was on the bench for us.
Oh, because he was. Sorry, yeah.
Duh. But yeah, anyway, so yeah, strikers, McGoldrick then. I think Richie Barker was, he said how surprised he was. Not only his goal tally, but how he keeps himself fit. He's a gym bunny, apparently. Always in the gym, always trying to keep himself working hard, keeping himself ready, keeping himself fit. You know, 35 years of age. You know, Richie Barker said normally you get people like that that are just sort of almost coasting, if you like. But
he's shredded, isn't he?
I don't know.
Is that the gym word? You go to the gym all the time, Simon. I've seen your TikToks and your Instagrams and you showing the world your guns and, you know, your squatting and what have you. Is it the word shredded when someone's looking pretty good?
Yeah, shredded. That's normally when they're lean. I'm not really looked for a picture of Dave McGoldrick without his top on, to be honest. I tell you who is shredded. Mendes Lange is shredded.
Okay.
Every single time I see a photo of him, like a team picture of him in the change room afterwards, he's always got his top on. He is ripped.
Wow, okay.
But yeah. But yeah, Richie Barker full of praise for him, and you're thinking a lot of the, and apparently as well, a lot of like after the game, the sort of things as fans we don't really hear necessarily are like, obviously managers get together from opposite teams and have a bit of a drink and whatnot and a chat about the game and whatnot. And he's always the topic of conversation. How lucky are Derby to have David McGoldrick?
But it fits for him, doesn't it? Where he lives, where his background is a Nottingham lad.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to commute far. He's a family man. It makes perfect sense of a guy at his age who's got a fantastic career behind him. You know, his previous club was only up the road. You know, even if he stayed in, he was commuting, I believe, to Sheffield. It just makes perfect sense. Same as Hourihan. You know, if you're within the area and you can get to work and back within an hour, it's and have a family life and enjoy your football. And one a friend of mine who works at the club did say that McGoldrick absolutely loves being at Derby, even as a Nottingham lad, and we all know where he made his name and the club he made his name. And you know, that's his hometown club.
Yeah.
He doesn't act like a Nottingham lad in the campus. He breathes and sleeps Derby County, and that shows you the true professional he is. And apparently he's unbelievably popular with the catering ladies as well.
It can't be.
Probably because he's shredded.
Probably because he's shredded. Going to say they're all over. David, show us
your guns, David.
Yeah.
Oh, David.
Well, his celebrations always that, innit? He's always giving it to that, innit? You know what I mean? So it's quite funny. But yeah, no, I'm generally pleased that, you know, that I think to me, I was one of those that was a little bit, yeah, it's David Golden, but he's 34, 35. Can't see him doing much, but wow. Okay. Yeah, I'm impressed. You just know, you know, I think over the last three or four games, he's not played particularly well. Not as well as he has done. Or you know, he just needs that one chance.
Yeah, I think he's absolutely the absolute clear and obvious choice to win
player of the year.
Yeah. I think Cashin will get young player. I think that'll be obvious. And I think that as if he's old. Yeah, Cashin still qualifies for it, doesn't he? Because he's under 23.
Yeah. Is it 21, 22?
But I think McGoldrick is,
by far. I think it'll be between him and maybe Mendes Lang. I think Mendes Lang's quite popular, isn't he? If Mendes Lang can get back to playing the way he was, as you said, you think he needs a rest.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, no, for me, it's
because he's in his 30s, remember?
I know, was he 30? He's 31, isn't he?
Yeah, 31, 32. He's in his, you know, he's no spring chicken. I just think that if Didsey gets to 20 goals, the first strikers to it since Chris Martin, and then obviously prior to that, his good old Dean Sturridge.
Yeah.
I think he's hands on, got that trophy.
Here's a thought. I'm going off topic here. Do you know who I think we should go for in the summer?
Go on.
Jamie Vardy.
Oh, is he being released? Is he?
I don't know, but he's at that stage now where he's not got that. Though he used to have that couple yards of pace. He's sort of lost that pace for the Premier League now. But I think he'd cause mayhem in Championship.
Could you have a Vardy and a Rooney in the same squad? Controversial.
Ooh! Yeah, true.
Just saying.
Like, can you imagine that?
Oh.
That would be chaos. No, let's not. We'll not go for that. We'll be on the headlines again for the wrong reasons.
Uncle Wayne. You won't believe who's come through the front door today.
Oh, I'd be all over it. Wayne will be like, tell me everything. Tell me everything I need to know. Kayleen needs to know. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on.
Let's move on anyway.
This is supposed to be a review about Chelsea.
I know. We've reviewed Chelsea.
We sound like loose women. Oh. Chelsea?
Shut up. I don't know what's wrong. I need to put my teeth back in.
You need it.
I was awake at 5:30 this morning. Was supposed to go to the gym, but literally had the worst headache I've ever imaginable.
What did you take for that headache? Because it's clearly had the adverse effect.
I had ibuprofen for it.
That's what they told you.
Well, yeah.
I think we should get you Sada onto you. We need a sample off you this evening, please.
It's eggs. It's like Conor Ben. It's eggs. but yeah.
Oh, let's not go there, because that's another subject.
Can't you tell I'm just all into sport, eh? Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Shrewsbury then at the weekend. I should be there with my kids. And then the kids will all be there.
Kids for a quid.
No. Well, yeah, actually,
Alfie's for a quid.
He's there for a quid. And then Oscar, I think, costs £6. Because he's like six. Pat, you think, you know, why not? You know, Oscar's been before with me. He went to the Birmingham game. But Alfie's never been, but always bangs on. Daddy, when are you going to take me football? And I'm thinking he's too young. But I'm thinking if they're both there, if my missus is there, it'd be fine. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Oh, it could be a disaster. Could be leaving at 50 minutes. I'm bored. That's what I got off Oscar at the Birmingham game. I'm bored. Yeah, I'm like, it wasn't the best game, but
just my advice to that is just get two rather large bags of Maltesers.
Well, yeah, that's what I did. I fed him up, and then he had this little drawing tablet thing, and he just did on that, and he was telling everyone to shut up when they were singing. I was like, dude, you can't. Anyway, we digress even. Words are gone, mate. I'm just going to pick a word, and what you're going to have to do is try and guess what actually meant.
I've already just sent an email to you, Sada. I've just said, this guy needs a sample.
He needs a sample. He needs checking.
Come on. Anyway, Shrewsbury Town.
So, Derby versus Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury, a team in pretty good form. Since the new year, in the league, they have lost one game and drawn one. So, that's what I think.
That was recently the loss was.
Yeah, was it Bolton, I think. Was it Bolton, if I remember rightly? Or was it Peterborough?
I'll have a look now while you carry on.
But yeah, they are a team that have been changed by Steve Cotterill, their manager, experienced manager. He's been around for a while, and you know, he knows what he's doing. He's changed their path. But
so, Shrewsbury got beat by Accrington Stanley away on my birthday.
Aww.
So there you go. Their record. They remind me very much of Blackburn Rovers from the Championship. They either win or lose, and seldom draw.
They've been winning a lot recently. Though, let's be honest.
But it's true. If you have a look, Simon, their record is 1-15, drawn 6, lost 12. Which their away record is 1-6, drawn 4, lost 6, 22 points. So their away record is very similar to ours.
Yeah. And, well, I think... Are they playoff contenders now?
Well, they've only scored 41 goals, but they've only conceded 34. They're quite mean, aren't they? As a defensive unit, they're quite mean. And going back to the game we played at their end, I wanted to say Game Meadow, but it's not called that no more, is it? I can't remember what their stadium
is. It's not Game Meadow anymore.
I'm sure that it's... Well, it might be. I'm pretty sure now it's got some form of sponsorship name. It was dire. It was absolutely doggy doo-doo.
Greenhouse Meadow now.
Ah, there you go, you see. I just think that they're going to come to Derby with a Steve Cotterill mentality of... He plays a very rigid style of football, but he loves his set plays. One thing I found interesting about Shrewsbury, looking at their stats this afternoon, they've had 77 yellow cards. They are a dirty, dirty team.
Well, they got 4 in the last game against Wickham.
Yeah, they are a dirty, and a lot of them are from their forward line. They are very similar up top to Barnsley, as we said. They are buggers up top, and they will kick ankles, and they will have cheeky, let's say, you know, the good old toe stomp. They don't mess around. But Cotter's always been that with his teams.
Got Tom Bayliss in midfield.
He's an animal.
We were touted by it for him and all, weren't we?
Yeah, we were. I think he's got a pretty bad disciplinary record.
One, two, three. He's had 3 this year, put it that way. But yeah, it's not great. But yeah, I mean, I think it's one of them we need to be a bit careful of. I mean, what are they now? They're 9th in the league. They're 8 points off the playoffs.
Yeah, with a game in hand on us, aren't they?
Well, yeah, with a game in hand. So they are going to be a tricky character. I don't think it's... I remember when we did the pod post, the away game, we thought, yeah, it'd be a... They'll come, they'll have a bit of a scrap, but we'll get the win, we'll get the job done, and... That's what they did. They had a bit of... We were poor, though. We were poor. We tried to play silky football, and it just didn't work.
No, it didn't. I remember the game quite well because if I remember rightly, the wind was horrendous.
Mm. Collins missed a sitter.
Yeah, it's his former club as well, isn't it? Didn't he play at Shrewsbury Collins?
Possibly.
I'm sure he did. I just think that Cottrell's going to come with the mentality. Ultimately, they're going for sixth, aren't they?
Mm.
They're not too far off sixth for the game in hand.
No.
I think he will take a draw. I think he's going to go really rigid. The interesting one for this one, Simon, I would like your thoughts on this. I wouldn't be surprised if he tweaks it again, because I don't think he'll be happy with Tuesday's performance at all.
It's possible. Now, it will be interesting because obviously Shrewsbury play a three at the back.
They
now,
do.
We saw what Barnsley did with the five at the back. Our width is where we try to look dangerous, and we struggled against Barnsley. I would not be surprised if he tried to match him up.
I think James Chester might come back in, you know.
Oh, no, apparently not.
Apparently he's not ready still.
No, so just on the injury front, at the press conference, neither Bird or Chester are ready yet.
Oh.
They are. Chester's training back on the pitch.
Okay.
He's back on the grass now, but they don't want him to. They don't want to push him yet. They're being very careful with him. Max Bird wants to play. He's desperate to play, but as they've the scans look good, but as they've reiterated to him, they don't just want him for the weekend. They want him for the rest of the running.
Yeah, the 10-game running is, I would love to see both them in the team. And I would say that if they are both available going into the last 10 games, and then we're within, I was going to say 6 points, but if we're within eight with a 3-game swing, I won't be surprised at all to see James Chester go into a three and put Corey Smith into the midfield with Bird. So you've got tenacity and you've got calmness and skill. I think we've missed, like I said, I'm not going to swear because obviously there could be kids listening to this, but we've missed an absolute so and so in the middle of the park. I think Corey Smith did everything we've got to that.
And Itouse,
that's him.
Yeah, we have
one of them.
Like I say, yeah, I think. I mean, at Cheltenham, we did see challenges going in there. I mean, I remember Goldrick. He lost the ball, but he stuck his leg in a sliding tackle. Mm. Oh, that was a thump and half. That was good tackle, clean tackle. But yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one against Shrewsbury. I just don't think we can afford to be complacent. The performance has got to be undoubtedly better than the last two. We seriously need to up our game.
Last three, really, including Lincoln.
Oh, yeah, last three, including Lincoln. No, because Charlton. I thought Charlton, we did okay. There was a lot more, we created a lot more chances than we have done in the last couple of games.
But if you look at all the, let's go back to Wickham. If you look at Wickham, Charlton, Lincoln, Barnsley, Cheltenham, what's that, five, is that?
Yeah, last five haven't been great.
Who would you know, all of them, not one performance stands out. For the, well, no. one does stand out for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, that's Barnsley.
Yeah,
but on the plus side, we're now in March.
Yeah. Yes.
So the February curse is done with.
Hallelujah!
That. Thank goodness for that. It's one of them. You either believe it or you don't. I think it feels like it is a thing for us that February we do struggle when we're in a good position, but I don't think we've fallen too far behind. The gap's 8 points. We've still got a game in hand over Ipswich.
I thought we were level.
Oh no, that was the game in hand, weren't it? Yeah. So the game in hand's gone. We've won that. That's what we needed to do. Now it's just a case of right. We go.
We're 3 points behind Ipswich now, aren't we? On level games.
3 points behind Ipswich. 8 points off Plymouth. Plymouth are having an almighty dive. That is when it's going to get interesting because we play Plymouth next, don't we? After Shrewsbury.
We do. And
then Oxford.
We do. And just whilst you're on that subject, I think whilst we're talking about that, let's look at, we always like to look at the other fixtures that are happening at the same Saturday. So Bolton have got Morecambe at 12:30 away.
that's an easy win for Bolton.
I think, yeah. Barnes are at Bristol Rovers. Now, Bristol Rovers are one of those teams that can sweep teams on.
Are they away?
They're away, Barnsley.
Yeah, Bristol.
I'm going to put that as a draw. I think that could be a sticky one. Ipswich are at home to Burton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Burton of...
Bristol's home form has been shocking recently. I just kind of thought I'd put that out.
Has it?
They've lost three out of the last five and drawn one. They drew against Ipswich, lost against Burton, lost against MK Dons, lost against Plymouth, but they did beat Cheltenham. They have had some tough fixtures at home recently.
You see, it's one of those weeks where we're looking at other fixtures, and I'm thinking now, Sheffield Wednesday have got Peterborough at home and Plymouth are at home to Charlton. So we need to beat Shrewsbury because on paper, the other fixtures look...
Sheffield Wednesday versus Peterborough would be a tough game. And I think Charlton will give Plymouth a game.
But they're still on paper look bankers, don't they?
I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced Plymouth against Charlton's a banker.
Okay.
Is it a Charlton away?
No, Plymouth are at home. Yeah, Charlton away, sorry. Yeah.
Same thing.
There's something in the air tonight. Yeah, we're having a mare, aren't we?
Well, I mean, I know Plymouth had a good record at home part, didn't they? So I think they were undefeated till recently there. Okay. But with the form they're in, I'm tempted to go for a draw there. Genuinely am. I think Charlton are quite a stubborn team. Charlton like to play football.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer of we need above us draws everywhere. Yeah. I'm not a believer of this. Oh, I'd rather them win than them. I'd rather see 0-0 draws all around and reel in 2 points per game.
Yeah.
Per club. Because I've always been a firm believer, don't chase one. Always look to chase the pack. Because if you Eric Steele made a valid point, to be fair, on Saturday when he says what you do is you chase one position at a time. So at the moment, Derby are chasing fourth to get a potential home advantage in the playoffs. But I look at it, to be honest, playoff football, as we've proven when we went to Leeds, you know, I don't think home advantage is always necessarily beneficial playing second. I remember when we were in the playoffs many years ago when we came, Razak was injured and Idiarkes was injured. Who were we playing?
Southampton. Was it Southampton?
No, it was the year before. It was Burley.
Oh.
A couple of years before. Oh. And we were at home second and we just couldn't.
I remember watching. I remember Razak crying.
Yeah,
He came on and he was crying because he couldn't. That's annoying. I swear it was Southampton. No, Southampton was the
Preston.
Year after.
It was Preston. Preston.
That's it, Preston. Yeah, yeah. It
was Preston. Billy Davis.
Yeah, it was. And then Southampton was the year after, wasn't it?
Yeah. Billy Davis.
Idiaka scarred that penalty, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, talk about playoffs. Like, if you come third, fourth, fifth, or sixth, realistically, I think the only thing that's never nailed on is normally sixth. You normally have one team that pops up with a crazy last game result that gets you there. So I think that the results we need to be looking at results around us. Ultimately, I think this is going back to what we've digressed a bit, but what I was trying to say was this Saturday, our game, I think, is the most difficult of all of the top six.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I think it is because, as I said, we are chasing. Shrewsbury are in good form. We cannot afford to perform how we have done in the last five games.
We can't. We'll get beat.
We will. And that is the truth. You know, no matter if you think, oh, it's only a little Shrewsbury, it doesn't matter. Shrewsbury are in good form. Shrewsbury are beating teams like Peterborough. Shrewsbury are beating teams like Bolton, etc. People like that, that teams like that. They beat Plymouth, didn't they?
Yeah, I think... I'd say what was interesting, and I'm going to use a basketball analogy here with football, in the sense that on a court, on a pitch, you can get away with one of your main scorers having an absolute nightmare, an off day. You could possibly even say two have an off day on a football pitch or on a basketball court and get away with it. You can't get away with three or four having a bad day. And I think the Barnsley game, we had probably four or five having a really bad day. We cannot afford as a squad to do that. We need at least 9 of those 11 players out there giving us 7 out of 10. If you get 9 players give you 7 out of 10, you will win more than you lose. I think against Barnsley, we probably had 3 or 4 maximum at 6 or 7, and the rest was 5. I think Cheltenham was just a very flat 6 out of 10. Dobbin possibly at 7 with McGoldrick. It just about scraped over. You cannot go into the Shrewsbury game with 9 players at 6 out of 10, Simon. I just don't think you'll get the win.
I said to you, come March, if we are there or thereabouts, I think we'll get promoted. That's what I first said to you.
You did.
This is when I changed my mind from mid-table to getting playoffs.
Yeah.
We're now at March. This is now where it gets important, serious stuff now. This is where you realise where you're going to finish this season. Are we going to have another season in League One, or are we going to be playing the Championship next season? I think now, if we can hit form again now, starting, well, we've had Cheltenham, but starting with a performance against Shrewsbury and a win, we then go into Plymouth on the up, 2 wins on the bounce. We get that win against Plymouth, then I think that would be it then. That would be enough to give us enough confidence and enough boost to get us through to that second spot at the end of the season.
Well, we've got 13 games to go, haven't we?
Is it only 13?
Yeah, we've got 13 games to go. So we can achieve a maximum 99 points. Now, let's just say we drop 9 points between now and the end of the season for whatever reason. That would give Derby County 90 points. Now, if you don't get promoted on 90 points, then you've been beaten to the top two by 2 very good teams.
Yeah.
And that's the way I look at it. You know, to me, Derby need to be aiming for 90 points now. So they've got 13 games to hit 30 points, which is over. It's about 2.2 a game, isn't it? Give or take.
Yeah.
It's 10 wins. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Will it be done?
It's not a bad running, is it? It's not the worst running of the world until the end of the season. And no. I know, like you say, it's 13 games and everything, and it's March. But this is, for me now, this is the serious part of the season.
Well, look at Barnes' run. Barnes' run, if I remember rightly, my dad was telling me this down at Elverson Castle, and I'm a lovely sausage roll. I do recommend white sausage rolls. Other good sausage rolls are available, but white sausage rolls are very good. I'm pretty sure he said to me that Barnsley in the next 6 games have got to play 3 of the top 4, if not all the top 4.
Well, we've got to play Plymouth away, Ipswich at home, and Sheffield Wednesday away. The rest of the fixtures, Oxford away, should be a win. Fleetwood at home, 3 points. Peterborough away, I'd take a draw there. Obviously, want a win. Ipswich at home, got to beat them at home.
Well, yeah.
Forest Green away, should be 3 points. MK Dons again, another team struggling down the bottom 4, should be 3 points. Bristol Rovers away. Obviously, they caused us issues at Pride Park, but we blew them off 3-2. Was it 4-2? Yeah, 4-2 it wasn't, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think their 2 goals was just poor mistakes by us. Exeter away. Again, it's going to be a tough test down there. Bit of a trek as well. I think it's on a Tuesday night as well. So it's not going to be great. Burton at home, bit of a bogey team, need to smash them. And then Portsmouth at home. So the tough teams, apart from the only ones we've got, I'd say, are tough fixtures, are Plymouth away and Peterborough away.
Well, if you now quickly switch to Plymouth's running, I'm going to tell you that my dad was right. So you look at Plymouth whilst I read out Barnsley. Barnsley have got Bristol Rovers away. Then they've got five absolute stinkers.
Mm.
They've got Portsmouth at home. They've got Plymouth at home. Mm. They've got Wickham away. And then Sheffield Wednesday at home. And then Ipswich at home. So they've got four out of the next five at home. Two of them being the games in hand that they've got on us.
Mm. I'd say for Plymouth, this is they've probably got the easiest run.
And well, I was going to finish off with saying with Barnsley, their last eight or nine games, I would love their running, to be honest. They've got a if they can get through the next five games with a higher ratio of wins than defeats against all the teams around them, they could be a dark horse. Sorry, Simon, you were saying about Plymouth.
Plymouth got a on paper easy run. The only fixture they've got with the top six are us away.
Yeah.
Sorry, us at home, followed by Barnsley away.
Okay.
After that, Forest Green at home, Accrington away. Then they've got Bolton in the EFL Trophy. Then they've got Morecambe away, Lincoln at home, Exeter away, Shrewsbury away, Cambridge at home, Bristol Rovers at home, Burton at home, and then Port Vale away.
You see, now I
think that for them should these next three games for them will define their season.
Agreed. And I think Barnes' next five will as well. Now, finally, we're not going to look at Sheffield Wednesday because I think Sheffield Wednesday
they've won the league.
Are the four. Now, Ipswich Town, they have Burton at home and Accrington at home. So on paper, you'd think that they've got two home banking games to come. Then they go to Bolton away, and then they have Shrewsbury at home, and then Barnsley away, and then us at Prior Park, and then they go. Then they are home to Wickham.
That little section there will be their season defining. This the end of this season is going to be incredible.
March in general
is fantastic. By the sounds of things,
is crazy. Is the defining month? It's bonkers.
You know what? This is the thing that this is the reason why I love doing this podcast, right? Is because we've gone from just doing a Shrewsbury review and everything, which we have done a preview, sorry. But now we're looking ahead. We're looking a bit further forward, and now we're actually seeing how exciting the end of this season. This season's still got a lot to play for.
You know,
as you've said previously, there's going to be a lot of tricks. There's going to be a lot of trip-ups, blips, all that sort of stuff. Now we're looking at the fixtures and we actually can see, we're breaking it down. We're going, actually, wow, yeah, there's a long way to go in this season. Automatic spot, just because we lost against Barnsley, isn't out of the picture. There is so much. There's the top six sides all play each other. You know, to me, this is...
Do you know, I really think...
I'm looking forward now to the end of this, to March now. This March is going to be interesting.
I think the key to success in this division, in the home run, and then we'll give our predictions for the Shrewsbury game. I think the key to success with this is who gets the teams who are currently fighting for sixth. Your Wickhams, your Peterboroughs, your Shrewsburys, your Portsmouth. They are the teams that we need to be watching because I think they're going to take points off everybody because they are going to be fighting for that sixth spot.
Yeah,
let's be honest. Yes, people are going to be saying, "Yeah, but Chris, we're fighting for first and second." It's a to me, it's a different fight. Because if you get into the playoffs from ninth, if you scrape in, you have the momentum.
Well, momentum
is massive. Look at QPR back in 2014. We were the form team, but they scraped in sixth.
We scraped in sixth under Lampard. Let's be honest.
We did exactly, and
that showed against Leeds away.
Yeah, and I think if you can get results against those teams, starting on Saturday against Shrewsbury, and other teams have got to face Wickham, who have got a new manager and have had a bad start under a new manager, so they might fall away. That might have been a bad time for them.
Yeah.
They must have been paid handsomely compensation to allow their manager to go at such a silly part. That was bonkers.
Yeah, it was.
So I think that's where... The results are going to be so important against clubs between sixth and ninth. So, going back to the preview of Shrewsbury, Simon, what is your prediction?
So, I think we'll change the team slightly. I think we might see a two up top. Okay. No, I don't actually, because I don't think we've got enough for three at the back if Chester's not fit. I think he'll pretty much stick with the same team, actually, just thinking about it. I think he'll pretty much stick with the same team that played against Cheltenham. I think Roberts will keep his place at left back. I think Dobbin's got to keep his place. That's without a shadow of a doubt. I'm going to go... I think we've got enough to win it. Okay. And I think I'm going to go tight game. I'm going to go 2-1 Derby.
Okay.
I'm going to go Dobbin's going to score again. And I'm going to go McGoldrick as well.
Ooh.
Same scorers.
So I think that the goals will come from the bench.
Really? Interesting. Yep.
I think it's going to be...
You're making it sound like it's going to be a tight game.
I think it's going to be a 0-0 half-time.
Mm.
And hopefully I'm proven wrong. We all hope I'm proven wrong on that. But I think that there's going to be some substitutions made that will change the game, like Port Vale.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those games where if you can tactically tweak to get the extra 5% or the extra yard needed or the extra golden chance to win the game, I think this is going to be this is going to be the most chess game like Saturday you'll see all season.
Mm.
This is a battle of two coaches who know their game and know what it takes. I think Cotter will come with a pure attitude of let's not lose this game and let's stay in the hunt. And Warnie knows we've got to win.
Mm.
So it's a battle of brains. Mm. So I'm going to go for 1-0, second half goal off the bench.
By anyone, who are you going to guess?
Well, who knows who's going to be on the bench? But I'm going to go James Collins. I think if Collins is on the bench,
Colo,
he's going to come off the bench. He definitely has played for Shrewsbury. I think he's going to score against his.
I'm checking.
Please, because I'm wrong, we'll have to re-record this.
You'll
be doing some editing. But I'm sure he made his name at Shrewsbury.
Here we go, James Collins career. He did. Well done, Chris.
Thank you very much. 22 goals and 66 appearances. Oh, no. Actually, he's played for them twice.
Yeah, he has. He went from Villa to Shrewsbury to Swindon to Hibs back to Shrewsbury.
There you go. So, there you go. You'd have to re-record now, Simon. I think he'll come off the bench 60-odd minutes and he'll get the winner 1-0, and I'll take that all day long. And I don't think there'll be any slip-ups anywhere else in the league. But I think that, like you said, March Madness, as they call it in America for college basketball. I think we're going into March Madness, and I think you are going to see some incredible results that are going to define the season for Derby County.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, not our own.
No. So let's fingers crossed. We have a better performance, and we can get that win. You know what? It would be nice to have a better performance, but at the minute, right now, this stage of the season, all that matters is 3 points.
Oh God, yeah, 100%, 100%.
All I can help for. Thank you for joining me again, Chris.
It's been all right.
We've gone on a lot longer than I thought we would do. But yeah, thank you guys that have stuck with us. Remember to give your predictions in the comments below. Remember to like the channel and subscribe to the channel, like the video, share it, possible as well. That'd be nice. And thank you for watching. And obviously, the podcast will be back again next Monday. We'll have Claire Lambert, Derby County season ticket holder, in the staff stand.
Yep.
She'll be joining us to give her thoughts on Shrewsbury. Fingers crossed we have a win. Chris will be back as well, I guess. I suppose we're bringing back. And I shall be back as well. So thank you all for listening. We shall see you next time. And as always, come on, Derby.